in opposite directions. And below all of that, there's awe. Damon's emotional intelligence is way beyond anything I ever would have imagined. He's nothing like I originally thought he was. He's so much more. Maybe if I show him some of my true colors, he'll feel the same way about me. Thinking this, I whisper the first confession that comes to me. I hate my birthday. He practically pouts. What? Why? I feel like the most pitiful person on earth, but it's too late to turn back now. Sighing, I hide my face against the hot, autumn-spiced skin of his throat. It's the same day that gave me away. Damon stops breathing, and I squeeze my eyes closed. He's going to hear how pathetic I am and run for the hills. He won't want me anymore, and he'll tell the others I'm defective, and then they'll finally figure out whatever it is that made all the others return me too. But he asked to hear this. I have to follow through and give him what he wants. So I scrape out the rest of this dark thing I've never told anyone else. The day I was born is the same day they gave me away. And every year, even if I'm doing something fun with Meg, I have to remember that however many years ago, someone looked at me and decided they didn't want me. For the longest moment, everything is still and silent. All I hear is my own breathing, too quick and muffled by the collar of his sweater. Finally, Damon moves, slowly skating us to the edge of the rink and setting me on the low wall surrounding the ice. When he leans back, just far enough for me to see his face, he cups both palms around my head. Remy, he says, staring right into me. I want you. My eyes sting while he crowds closer. Okay? I want you, sweetness. I want all your muffins. And I want to hear about your pirate romance books, even if I still don't actually believe that's a thing. I want to watch Bake Off with you and score for you at every game and hold you all night, every night. I want you.
Chapter 43. Damon. The prettiest girl in the world is looking up at me with tears half frozen on her dark eyelashes. I wipe my thumbs under them, glad that holding her has kept my hands warm. She gazes into me and blows out a slow breath. Damon, I love you. For maybe the first time ever, everything inside of me goes still, and the only thing echoing back at me through all the silence is fear. Not for me, for her. Because I'm not good enough for this woman, and I never will be. She's too brilliant for me, too innocent and selfless. What could I ever give her? Myself? What a great deal. An alpha who can't even read, who can't really work. What will happen when I have to retire from hockey? The oldest guy on our team is only 31 and he's nearing retirement. That gives me maybe 5 years, if I'm lucky. But I've always been lucky. And I've always figured shit out when my back is up against the wall. I don't give up, and I'm not giving up on this, never on this. Her lips quirk up slightly, but her eyes fill, waiting. She's waiting for me to grow some balls and tell her how I feel back. I nudge my nose against hers. You're too smart not to know that I love you too, right? You know that? Her breath quivers. You do? Sweetness. I whisper, brushing my lips over hers. I didn't even know I could love someone like this. My voice drops lower. You smile at me, and I'm all in, Remy. You and me, no matter what, I'm all in for you. Tears stream down her cheeks, but her pink, perfect lips spread into the exact smile that lights my soul up. All in. She whispers, still grinning. I like that. I grab her, spinning us both as I skate in a circle. Her laugh floats up into the eaves, reverberating off the empty arena, reminding me that we're here all alone. And fuck do I want her. She's never smelled quite this sweet, quite this happy before. It isn't her perfume or anything sensual, but it's joyful. And her joy makes me want to be close to her in a whole new way. When she clamps her cold little hands on either side of my face and pulls me into a kiss, I'm glad we've never been here before. Because we may be in the middle of a hockey rink during the middle of the day, but when her tongue timidly strokes into my mouth, I know she wants the same thing I do. And it's so much more than fucking. She pulls back, her eyes wide and full of feeling. "Are you sure?" I murmur, then flash a crooked smile. "Here?" Remy giggles, the sound rewiring my brain, as if you wouldn't be up for it, trouble. I skate her cute, bratty little ass toward the exit before thinking better of it. When I turn abruptly, a shrieking laugh peals out of her. "Where are we going?" "Well, I have it on good authority that you like to act like a good Omega, but you're actually a very naughty girl, so I'm going to have to put you in the penalty box." We skate right up to it, gliding to a halt at the entrance. The box is tight, with just barely enough room for what I have in mind. And so what if I bruise my shoulders and my knees? For her, bring on the bruises. She lets me set her on the narrow bench seat, her eyes flashing mischief at me as she tilts her head in a coy challenge. "What's my penalty?" "See? Cassian can treat her like glass, and Smith can buy her as many frilly dresses as he wants. But I've always known better. This Omega has a naughty side, and I'm going to be the man to bring it out of her." 5 minutes, I return, dropping to my knees at the edge of the box and waving a hand at my erection, for high-sticking. When she laughs again, I know she's probably looked up what high-sticking actually means, which of course she did, perfect girl. I pull my sweater off, leaving the t-shirt underneath it askew while I urge her to lift up long enough for me to slide the thicker material under her ass. Then, while she's arched, I take advantage and unbutton her jeans, shimmying them down to her ankles. Honey-soaked sex hits my senses, filling my mouth with saliva, my canine's pulse begging me to bite the flawless brown skin of her upper thigh, leave my claim on her. Instead, I squeeze my knot through my jeans and growl, "My perfect dirty girl, have you been wet for me this whole time?" She bites her lip and nods slowly, eyes rounding.
"Yes, Alpha."
"Fuck me." I dig my hands under her ass and tilt her forward, angling her the way I need to. My lower lip touches her first, slipping over the bud peeking out from the top of her pussy lips. Remy gasps, her hips already bucking. "Shh, baby," I murmur, kissing her clit softly. "I've got you."
"What if someone comes in and sees?" she whines, still trying to press closer.
I chuckle in my throat. "They won't be able to see. The box hides everything I'm doing. Just relax for me. Remember, you only have 5 minutes in here." Her body rolls against my mouth as I swipe my tongue out, tasting the sweet warmth dripping from her pussy. It's heaven and nirvana and 3 wishes from a genie's lamp all rolled into one incredible burst of satisfaction. The feeling rolls through me as I groan, huddling closer and gliding my tongue between her folds. Fuck. I follow her cues, listening while she pants and whimpers. The underside of her clit is her favorite spot. I rub at the sensitive patch there before sliding down to slip into her. After a handful of circuits, she lets out a gorgeous cry and floods my face with honey-sweet slick. Fuck, fuck, fuck. Before I can even remember how to breathe, she claws at my shoulders and the back of my head.
"Damon," she whines, "Alpha, please, I want you."
I shove to my skates, reaching down to pluck her into my arms. As I drop to the bench, she spreads her thighs as far as they'll go. My hands frame her face, capturing her attention before she can sink down on me. "I can't knot you here, okay? I want us to be somewhere safe the first time." Her eyes glow, shining as she leans into my cheek and scent marks me.
"Yes, Alpha."
She's a secret fucking tease, and I love it. I love her.
The words pour out of me again as I adjust the spread of my knees and yank her body down, impaling her on my throbbing cock. Love you, pretty girl. God damn, do I love you. In this freezing box, she's a scorching squelch of pure heaven. My vision goes white from the heat of her. Fuck. Shit. Her pussy is tight, gripping me hard enough to rip the breath from my lungs every time she uses my shoulders to push herself up. I didn't think about this before, in my desperation to be connected to her. It didn't occur to me that she would be the one directing the pace for our first time, doing most of the work. And you know what? My dirty girl can fuck. Good God! Am I going to die in this penalty box? Is this Omega about to fuck me to death? Well, I did say I was all in, so. Goodbye, cruel world. Death by penalty box pussy. Told you I was lucky. My knot pounds, filling more with every slide of her luscious body over mine. My balls draw tight, tingling from the cold air and the warm slick dribbling down them. I clutch my hands under her hips, my head falling back on rough pants. Fuck, sweetness. Yes! You ride my cock so good. Dirty, beautiful girl. Fuck me harder. Show me who I belong to. Remy moans, picking up speed until I can't process anything other than the pleasure building at the base of my dick. It spreads up into my abdomen, cinching every muscle as her wet heat strokes my dick harder and faster. When she bends forward, rubbing her clit all over my knot, I almost lose my shit right then and there. Fuck! Naughty Omega. I told Cass about that. Did he show you? Is that why you've been letting him take care of the sweet pussy every night? To my delight, she actually answers me. Yes, she cries. Damon, I'm going to... She makes herself come, grinding us together as she clamps around my length until stars burst behind my eyelids. I snarl, snatching her body against mine and holding her down as I fill her with thick washes of cum. Remy takes it all, snuggling as close as she can while I shut her over the edge. When I finally float back into my body, she's pressing soft kisses into my jaw. I think my legs are too shaky to skate, she huffs, giggling. Shit, mine too. I smooth her hair back with both of my hands, considering our options. Guess we're stuck in the penalty box for a few more minutes, pretty girl. She scoots closer, tucking our hips together and letting me stay inside of her. It's the exact intimacy I was after, and I drop my forehead to her shoulder, absorbing it. Hey, Damon, she whispers a second later. Yes, sweetness? She bounces slightly on top of me. You're all in. The stupid pun makes me laugh way harder than I have any right to. I clutch her to my chest while I snort, shaking my head. Damn right I am. Chapter 44. Pearson Pack Group Chat. Cassian, what am I picking up for dinner? Damon, can't think. Remy looks so hot right now, I could legitimately die. Remy,
they're just muffins, Trouble.
Damon, she's leaving out the part where she ran downstairs in a thong to get them out of the oven. And she just put an apron on over it. I'm officially dead. Smith, Remy, I won't be home for dinner, unfortunately. But I think you know what I want as a side for whatever you leave out. Cassian, can we focus? Damon, on how amazing our Omega is? Absolutely. Cassian, on dinner, Chinese or Thai? Remy,
Smith doesn't like Thai, and I already ordered Chinese. It's on its way.
Damon, marry me. Did I make it weird? I made it weird. Smith.
Harder.
I've never been in a room where every single person is simultaneously having the most humiliating experience of their life. Until now.
Is that all you've got, Alpha?
I suppose, technically, it isn't every person,
The two Omegas at the front of the room certainly don't seem fazed in the least. In her crimson caftan and matching turban, it's impossible to tell how old Irene Underwood is. She moves like a cloud of perfume, wafting from one side of the conference room's platform to the other, filling the air with a powdery sort of scent each time she sweeps past my end of the front row. Her male counterpart is every bit as attractive and age-ambiguous as she is, but Julian Channing stands to the back of the stage, his arms crossed loosely and a small smirk on his goateed face. For 20-some years, Alphas, Betas, and Omegas have whispered about this rumored Alpha training. Is it true some Alphas really didn't know how to care for their mates? Do two Omegas honestly run a whole class for it, together? And whose Alphas are the ones that stand around the room watching the other, much younger Alphas' every move? I can't tell, but every time any of us so much as flick an annoyed look at either of the elder Omegas, threatening Alpha auras creep from the corners of the room. At first, I wondered what the older gentlemen were doing here. It would be monumentally stupid for any of us to disrespect Irene or Julian. They're practically famous for what they do, and we all had to sign a mountain of paperwork just to apply for this exorbitant class. But I quickly deduce, we're not dealing with the best and brightest Alphas in the world here. The one standing up on the platform with them is clearly having the worst 2 minutes of his life. When Irene arrived and immediately asked everyone gathered to close their eyes for a visualization exercise, he had the gall to laugh, which, as it turns out, was quite the mistake. Now he clutches a limp piece of fabric in his left hand and clears his throat. Julian chuckles. Show us again. He cocks his head coy. Deeper this time, Alpha. Christ, I should have brought a flask. I can already tell the Alphas in this room fall into two categories. The ones like me, who know they fucked up and are here of their own begrudging will, and the ones who are here because someone is making them. I have a feeling Stage Guy is in the second column. The rest of the Alphas in the front row cast each other furtive glances, sizing one another up and, at the same time, checking that no one is looking right at us. I accidentally make eye contact with the guy 3 chairs down from mine. We both immediately fling our gazes away, but it's too late. Dear God, didn't I run high school track with that guy? Isn't he a big-time broker now, and he's here? Well, so am I guess. A fresh round of shame worms its way into my guts as I shift, crossing my ankle over my knee, doing everything I can not to let my leg bounce with anxiety. It's a lot harder than it should be. Then again, I'm in a room full of similarly aggravated Alphas. My instincts tell me not to turn my back for even a moment. What am I doing here? I picture Remy, laughing, as Damon twirls her in their daily dance around the kitchen, Cassian stepping between her thighs and putting his forehead right on her shoulder, his supplication and trust, the effortless way she accepts him. You're here because your Omega hates you, and you can't take it anymore. I really can't. The last few days have been torturous, ever since she started sleeping with Cass and Damon. It was bad enough hearing her with my little brother every night, but now it's both of them, and I had forgotten that Damon has absolutely no shame. He's fucked her in every hallway, on every surface of the kitchen, and 7 different ways on the couch. Yes, I know it was 7, because I watched. And no, they didn't know I was standing on the other side of the back door, peering through the window the entire time. That's the other fucking problem. In addition to being a panty thief, I'm becoming a bit of a voyeur, always pausing for several beats too long outside her door before I bring in her coffee, or standing around corners, listening to the way she gasps and sighs while the guys have their way with her. Between her cold shoulder, my stockpile of panty pocket squares, and the vigorous way I've been masturbating, I'm surprised my dick hasn't fallen off. The alpha on stage looks like his has shriveled up altogether. His eyes dart over the rest of us while we shift uncomfortably, all of us grateful we aren't him, and scared that we might be next. He lifts the article of clothing to his face, using it to channel his half-assed purr again. Come on. I might not be an Omega expert, but even I can purr better than that. Irene doesn't care much. She snaps at him, rolling her eyes while she waves him off.
That's quite enough, I think. The rest of you, take out your Omega's clothing items.
My joints feel stiff as I take the folded nightgown out of my inner jacket pocket. It's one of the few items she brought with her from her old apartment. I convinced myself it was fine to borrow it from her room since it clearly needs to be replaced. The thing is pretty flimsy, thin and small, just a slip, really. But the worn, heart-patterned fabric sends a pang through my chest every time I look at it. It acts like a tripwire of sorts. The second I focus on it, a rumbling begins behind my sternum. I strangle the would-be purr, but not before Julian's knowing gray eyes snap to me. They flicker away almost as quickly, but I don't fucking like it. Remy is the only Omega I want looking at me. That thought feels stupidly dramatic, but my alpha grunts in agreement before settling back down, content we're finally on the same page, as if he's given me any choice. As if you would want any other choice, he huffs. Such a dick. I wonder if anyone else argues with their instincts like this. While the rest of the alphas awkwardly fumble their various pieces of Omega clothes, the two on stage watch us all, muttering to themselves. Julian speaks and Irene nods. Even before she looks up, my scalp prickles. And I know, in my bones, she's about to look up, point right at me, and say, "You." Thankfully, I'm not the only one selected. There are six of us out of the 20-odd alphas in the room. Two are male alphas in suits similar to mine. One is covered in tattoos. And two are female alphas, a businesswoman in a wrap dress, and a tired-looking woman in athleisure. Fuck, why are we here? Did they already pick the worst of us out of the crowd? Are these the hopeless cases? The other 15 stay behind with Irene, while Julian leads our smaller group to a quiet corner. My eyes snag on the alpha wearing leggings. We exchange a grim look, as if confirming for one another that we're both pieces of shit. Julian touches a stack of chairs pushed into the far corner, and one of his alphas appears in a blink, unstacking enough seats for seven. Before he steps back to his position along the wall, he tenderly scent marks our instructor, meeting his gaze for a beat before stepping away. That same painful stab strikes my heart again. Shit. I don't know if it's guilt or jealousy. Some unholy combination of the two, probably. Because I don't want Remy to be afraid of me. She should be able to count on me. I want to anticipate her needs so she can trust me to fill them. Behind us, Irene peppers the others with questions. Rapid fire, she barely gives the alphas time to respond before moving on. How many hours of sleep should Omegas get each night? Do they have any special nutrition requirements? What sorts of food should they eat during their heats? Those feel like things we should all know. Julian listens to her for a few seconds before turning his laughing eyes on our smaller group. They take on a note of pity as they jump from face to face, preparing, I'm sure, to give us the bad news. We're the worst of the worst. You six are here because you're different from the rest of the group, he starts. My stomach sinks lower. Most alphas who come here are here on someone else's orders, but you. He looks at each of us in turn, finally resting his focus on my face. You six are obviously here because you feel like you're terrible alphas, and it's killing you.
The second he says it, the tension in the circle shifts. We're all relieved not to be pegged as the lowest of the low, but we are also ashamed. That's what this feeling is. What I've carried, in and out of our house, every single day, since Forever Matched. The reason I can't show my face for meals, or bring myself to do anything more than deliver her morning coffee. Shame. I don't recognize it until I see it on 5 other faces, but there it is. Gut-clenching, soul-crushing, and completely my own fucking fault. It smolders in the pit of my stomach, forcing me to drop my eyes to my loafers and grip Remy's pilfered nightgown with clenched fists. The thing is, Julian goes on almost soft. If you feel like you're failing your omegas, you likely are. I already knew that. But hearing a stranger say it out loud? Fuck. My throat works over a swallow while I stare down at the slip. There's a tiny tear just beside one of the thin straps, one Remy has repaired with the tiniest pink thread heart. She isn't a person who throws things away when they break, and I'm not a person who gives up.
Chapter 45. Remy. The Pearson Pax box is way too big without Meg and her alphas crammed into it. They're at home this week, prepping for her next heat. I talked to her this morning, and she seemed excited more than anything. I listened to her babble happily and wondered whether I would ever feel the same way. Right now, the thought of my next heat makes me feel, well, hot, burning with embarrassment and buzzing with apprehension, but also distinctly warm between my thighs. It's odd, living in a house with 3 alphas, men who are supposed to be mine, but still not knowing what my heat will look like. Will they all want to be a part of it? What if it happens while they have games scheduled? What if I end up alone with Smith? Why does that make me feel warmer? Nope, not going there. Especially while I'm alone, about to watch 2 of my alphas play the most violent sport I've ever seen. I'm already on edge as it is. Cassian was taciturn all day, much grumpier than usual. Although he didn't really treat me any differently, he just seemed to be seething about something. I see that same intensity out on the ice already. Once his stretches are done, he skates impatient half circles around the goal. It's like pacing on ice. Every few minutes, he turns his head to look up at my box, and I try for a reassuring smile while I wave. Could he really just be worried about me up here alone? I don't have much time to contemplate it before the lights go down, plunging the arena into darkness. The Jumbotron lights up, announcing the players, flashing their faces beside their names and jersey numbers. If Meg were here, she'd probably suggest we play Smash or Pass. Tittering to myself, I open Snapchat and send her a clip of the introductions, along with a note suggesting she make this into some sort of game for the Ospreys followers next season. She writes back right away, sending a screenshot of one particular player from the video, along with one word. Smash. It's Gunnar Sinclair, the guy the press keeps insisting will replace Damon. And yes, he is objectively smashable. All dark hair and mysterious eyes that make Damon look docile. Not surprisingly, my Omega practically foams at the mouth as Damon is announced, his unfairly handsome face lighting up the screen as hundreds of fans scream for him. It doesn't escape me that half of those screams sound more like moans. I might be bothered if my alpha didn't skate onto the ice and immediately spin to find me, pointing his stick up to our box with a wide, luminous grin. Cassian is always the last name announced, as is customary with goalies. He lumbers out in all of his pads, cutting a no-nonsense path right to the goal. Damon must notice he's off, too, because I catch him whipping his head over to watch Cass get settled. They shout something to each other over the bass, pounding through the stadium speakers. Dee's shoulders bounce up in a shrug, and I take that to mean he isn't too worried. Now, if only my Omega would get the memo. I feel like there's a hamster wheel in my chest, spinning faster and faster. My anxiety seems unfounded. The lights come up, The puck hits the ice and they're off. I watch as the opposing team works Damon into the boards again and again. He still manages to score, which is good because Cassian is definitely not himself. By the middle of the second period, I am distinctly stressed. Damon is fighting for his life out there, dodging several players at once. With the defenders spread thin, trying to assist the offense and guard the goal, Cassian is on high alert. He's blocked upward of 20 shots, but three have snuck through. Damon scored once, and Gunnar has another goal, bringing the score to 2-3. I'm on the edge of my seat, biting my lip hard enough to blanch it, when the door to the box flies open. I jump, whirling around to find Smith. The pack alpha stalks into the room, chest heaving slightly. "I'm late," he says, scowling at me. "I meant to be here an hour ago." I blink at him, processing. By the time I realize that was a Smith apology, he's dropped his briefcase against the box's low front wall and folded himself into the seat beside mine. Shock slackens my features while he settles in, bending forward to rest his elbows on his knees and narrow his dark eyes at the play unfolding below us. He's here, with me. But he smells like another Omega? The hairs on the back of my neck stand up. When Smith senses me stiffen, he turns and runs his eyes over my posture, lingering on my Timberwolf teal dress and Damon's borrowed team jacket. "Where were you?" I ask, whispering. He meets my eyes, his softening. "Just in a meeting, little petal. It ran longer than I expected." I open my mouth to ask him if there was another Omega there, but he stuns me into silence by bridging the distance between us, bending close enough to rub his cheek against mine in a deliberate, scent-marking gesture. "I missed you," he says. "How was your day?" Resembling a fish choking on air, I blub multiple times before finally swallowing hard. "This might be your only chance. Remember your graces," my anxiety hisses. "Show him you're worth talking to." "It was good," I say, sitting up straighter. "I ordered groceries and prepped some meals for the guys to take on the road next week. Damon asked for more muffins, and Cassian wanted a thermos of soup since they're heading into colder weather. The pool crew started repaving. They asked if we wanted a waterfall feature, but I'm leaning more toward a fountain, if that's all right." Smith's hand finds mine, warmer and larger than I expected it to be. He squeezes and sends me a pulse of steadying energy. "A fountain is great. Whatever you want is fine. But how are you, Remy?" Flabbergasted. A small smile touches my lips as he continues to stare at me intently, waiting for a real answer. "I'm okay," I reply. "Worried about Cassian a little bit. He was edgy today." Smith's brow furrows. "He does have moods, but I'm guessing this was beyond that." I nod, still stunned that he's listening to me, talking to me. We're like a team. "I'm not sure what could be making him so anxious," I continue, chewing the corner of my lip. We spent time together this morning. He had practice with Damon. I made them both an early dinner, so I'm just not sure." Smith's mouth actually quirks slightly at my innuendo. "Sounds like he's a spoiled bastard." His focus flickers to the place where my teeth are nipping my skin and his voice grows warmer. "I'll speak to him. And take care of it, all right? I don't want you to worry." He flexes his dominance, but not in a way that's aimed at me. Instead of a bulldozer, it's more like a weighted blanket, soothing my nerves. "I'll take care of everything," he assures again, looking right into my eyes. "You just relax for me." He's saying everything I've wished he would say for weeks. But why now? Is this guilt? Does it have something to do with that other scent on him? I guess that isn't fair. It isn't on him, more like near him. "You're being crazy," I tell my Omega. "He probably just rode an elevator with someone and you're going all Fatal Attraction over it." "Don't be a dumb bitch," she argues back. "Look at him. Do you feel this alpha energy? What Omega wouldn't want to juice themselves on that knot?" "Good Lord. Juice." She may be borderline feral for these alphas, but my Omega has a point. I do feel the BKE, as Meg calls it, and I'm trying to ignore the way it makes my core clench. "Too late?" Once I think about it for half a second, perfume spins off of me while Slick wets my panties. Smith's chest rumbles, but the sound is less of a growl and more almost, is he purring? Or trying to? Resisting the urge to pinch myself, because honestly, if I am dreaming, let me sleep. I scoot a bit closer. He lifts his arm and drapes it over the back of my chair. Are you cold? No, I'm trying to hear your chest. Seems like a weird answer. So I nod and let him gather me into his side. The rich bitterness of his coffee scent twines with his crisply laundered dress shirt and some sort of mild descending cologne. The effect is a spicy, clean, dark smell that makes my insides tingle. Smith glances sidelong at me. His expression seems conflicted, like he's trying to decide what to say or if he should speak at all. In the end, he lowers his voice a bit. Want to know a secret? I want to open up my phone and record this for later, because I know I will start gaslighting myself about whether this actually happened the second we snap back to our typical, polite, but separate reality. He leans closer and confesses. I hate coming here. Watching the coach bark orders at Damon and Cass makes me crazy. And this entire place needs to be dehumidified. Whoever installed their air conditioner did a shoddy job. I remember the way he reacted when he saw my old apartment. Maybe this is a particular hang-up of his, but it feels like there must be more to it. After all, he lived in a half-finished house before I showed up. What else? I ask, still looking up at him. A bit of tension leaves his shoulders. I'm not sure. Every time I'm here, I leave feeling angry, even when we win. Well, it isn't much, but it is something, isn't it? Effort. However clumsy. Below, a buzzer sounds. We both glance over to find the red light behind Cassian's goal flashing, meaning the other team has scored again. 2-4. Smith curses under his breath, the sound vicious despite the gentle way his arm wraps around my back. Never misses shots from the left, he mutters. What the hell is going on? I unpack his words and turn to him, my face lifting. You watch their games? Smith frowns, his eyes still following the play action on the ice. Of course I do. I watch every game on live stream. I'm at the office most of the time, but... He cuts himself off, looking at me with wider eyes. They think I don't watch their games? Because I'm not here? I nod, resisting the urge to laugh at his indignant expression. Well, yeah. Did you ever tell them you were watching at work, or tell them they played a good game? Smith holds my gaze for a long moment, thinking, and then sighs. I guess I didn't. You should tell them, I suggest, wincing and cringing, as Damon gets shoved into the boards again. Especially after tonight. The words are barely out of my mouth when it happens. Smith goes rigid. Below, Damon's head snaps up. And Cassian? Cassian roars, loud enough for me to hear him dozens of rows up. And then he lunges right out of the goal.
Chapter 46. Smith. By the time Damon and I haul Cassian into the house, I'm ready to call for a tranquilizer. He fights us hard, ripping his strength into our hands and arms while we struggle to drag him out of the truck that smells like Remy. I sent her home in my car, and Damon drove Cass's while I wrestled with him in the back seat. Now that we're here, I'm not sure how to protect her. We could hide her, Damon grits, shoving Cassian back from the stairs, or knock him out. It takes a moment for me to realize the whole house is dark. Usually, when she comes home, Remy turns on certain lamps. She likes pretty lighting, and has every room staged to absolute perfection. It's odd to find everything so dim when I know she's upstairs. Cassian can sense her. His focus shifts from fending us off to removing what's left of his uniform. The roar he lets out rattled the windows in their panes. I grind my teeth, waiting for Remy's answering whine. But, instead, her voice is clear and soft. It floats down the steps. I'm up here, Alpha. She appears at the top of the stairs, naked under a silky pink robe. She has her hair down, her makeup removed, and her scent. Holy God. She must have showered her de-scenter off quickly, because her perfume is pure, perfect honey. I inhale it, feeling my canines pulse with the urge to bite, which is when I realize she isn't afraid. There's no burned undercurrent to her, maybe a tiny bit of nervousness, judging by the slight rounding of her blue-gold gaze, but otherwise, she seems steady. I still hold Cassian back. My mind races, trying to decide what's best for both of them. One of the suited alphas in my small group earlier had a story like this. He went into a rut and scared his Omega half to death. Ever since, she hasn't been able to be alone with him. Remembering the tortured regret in that guy's eyes is enough for me to summon a ferocious bark. You will wait! Damon instantly freezes at my back. Cassian's body jerks, trying to shake off the command. When he can't quite slip free, I use his collar to jerk him upright. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do, I say, turning to gaze up at Remy. We'll wrestle him all night if we have to. It's true. I'll bark until I'm hoarse if it's the only way to protect her, although Damon's knock-him-out idea has some merit. But Remy squares her shoulders, lightly tossing her hair back. It's all right, she says. This is what he needs. Let him go. He can chase me. I'm not proud of the way my cock jerks. Hearing the snarl I smother in my chest, Cassian lunges forward. I barely manage not to lose my grip on him, speaking through a ticking jaw. Excuse me. A small smile touches her mouth.
He can chase me, catch me, then not me. She says clear and calm. You can both watch if you like. I'm going to lead him into the nest as soon as you let him go.
Fucking hell. She has a whole plan for this. Somehow, that strikes me as very Remy. She's a good girl, so fucking good. But she clearly has a secret naughty side to her. I saw it the night she came sneaking into my room, and she leaves me panties to use as pocket squares, as if that isn't entirely deviant. She's also organized and poised. She doesn't seem scared or irritated. She almost seems excited. Perfect Omega. My own Alpha growls his approval, vehement. For half a second, my pack leader instincts war with mate inclinations. I want her for myself, but I need to keep my whole pack safe. What did Julian tell that tattooed Alpha tonight? Leadership is sacrifice. Mastering my body takes a moment. When I'm firmly in control, I give Cassian a shake. You're going to chase our Omega down. I bark, low and even. And when you find her, you'll take her in front of us. We're going to watch. I cast Damon a quelling look. Just watch. He mutters something that sounds like, lucky son of a bitch, but starts pulling his gear off. I shuck my jacket and start to unbutton my own sleeves, releasing my stranglehold on Cassian, along with one final bark. Go get her. Cass takes off, crashing up the stairs. Remy gives a squeal that makes me want to hunt her down myself. Then, she's scurrying away. For a long moment, Damon and I stand shoulder to shoulder, staring in awe. His eyes flicker to the rumpled pile of clothing on the floor, brows quirking. Are those Remy's panties?
Chapter 47. Remy. A pound beats at the base of my throat while I watch Smith hold Cassian back. My rutting alpha is beyond all reason, teeth gnashed menacingly while he rips his uniform off. Torn fabric flutters to the floor as Smith fights to restrain him. But I want him. I want to be chased. My instincts are wired for this. Run. Not because I don't want to be caught, but because I do. It's heady to know I can do this to someone so powerful. Watching the way his muscle-bound body strains against the bonds of Smith's commands, all I want is to feel all of that strength aimed at me, dedicated to filling me. If I had time to think about it, I might ask myself why. Some Omegas like throwing their alphas into rut because they enjoy being tossed around. Others enjoy the ego boost of turning the tables on the designation that so often has control over us. For me, I guess, it's a form of devotion. This alpha isn't in his own mind anymore, but I'm still the only thing he wants. There's a purity to that. It's honest, real, and raw in a way that so many interactions can't be. His eyes are blank, aside from burning intent, focused entirely on me. My stomach flips as I step away from the stair rail and tell Smith to let his brother go. There isn't a moment of hesitation. Cassian takes off immediately, his distant eyes locked on me. My instincts snap forward, taking control of my body. A burst of perfume swells in my wake while I sprint down the hallway. Bone-rattling roars echo behind me, along with the sound of crashing footsteps. I weave toward my bedroom doors, feeling the hairs at the back of my neck wave as adrenaline prickles through me. Thick fingers close around the sash of my robe at the small of my back. I twist, squeal, and slip free of the whole garment. Cassian grunts, surging after me as I skid through the entrance of the Omega Suite and make a sharp turn for the nest. In the distance, I hear the others approaching. It makes Cass slow down long enough to send them a snarl, his alpha warning the competition that I'm his. Arousal tingles through me again, a rush of slick running between my thighs. Alpha, I call breathlessly, backing toward the nest door. Aren't you going to catch me? His head snaps to face me, the movement too quick to look natural. His nostrils flare. A low rumble builds in his chest. One footstep. Two. He approaches slowly, now that there's nowhere left for me to run. Waves of dominance and pulsing, punishing lust roll off of Cassian. I whine automatically. The small sound physically collides with him, his muscles clenching as it hits.
Omega, he roughs out. Mine.
Yours, I allow, carefully leading him to the nest door. Inside, it's dark. The strips of skylight built into the ceiling only let a few stray moonbeams in. They glow weakly in the round, dome-shaped space. Blue and milky white paint the true colors of the linens and walls in shades of silver and pale. In the dark, with his body bared and his cock curved up between his legs, Cassian looks like the beast he always claims to be. He's huge, tall and hard, and so strong it makes my core ache. The tight lace of his muscles expands while he sucks in a deep breath, tasting my scent. With a serrated sound, he launches his full weight at me. This time, I'm too slow for him and he catches me. With rough hands, he snatches my waist and my hair, lifting me right into his body while he charges into the nest. I cry out, twisting to try to give him a better chase, but he has me in an iron grip. It's one thing to run, knowing he'll catch me. It's another actually being caught. But now that he has me and I can't move, a bolt of panic streaks through me. My scent singes slightly.
Cassian. Gently.
I used to hate Smith's barks. Every single one made me feel sick with dread and half crazy from anxiety, but right now, the weight of his dominance seems more like slipping into a cool pool after lying in blistering sunshine. It isn't crushing. It's soothing. I see a flicker of relief on Cassian's face, too. Our alpha is here. He's going to protect all of us. Smith steps into the nest first, still wearing his button-down shirt and slacks. My Omega doesn't like that, but she's thoroughly distracted. At least he's taken his shoes off, leaving him in socks that match the blue pair of my panties he's had in his jacket pocket today. While Smith remains firmly focused on Cassian's face, flexing his power to keep him in check, Damon comes in behind him. Naked, of course, stripped down completely, with an erection bobbing between his cut hips. Our gazes meet for a second. His flickers around the nest and comes back to me, a small, utterly sincere smile on his lips. He likes it, I think with relief. None of them have ever been in here before, and for a second I'm disappointed they aren't seeing it in the daylight. But then I consider how Cassian would feel being left out of that, if only mentally, and decide this may be for the best. Still, it's very Damon to notice. He knows this is important to me, and saw how much work I put into to picking things. Not for the first time I wish we were bonded so I could send him a beat of gratitude. I've had those thoughts more and more lately, and it's getting harder to suppress them, especially in here. All of their scents are full force, saturating the air and my nest linens with the perfect combination. Bitter and earthy, brown sugar spice, and the rich smoothness of chocolate. It all swirls together and settles in my lungs. Hearing the soft whine in my throat, Cassian's dark eyes snap from the encroaching alphas back to me.
Omega,
he husks out, fingers flexing into my flesh.
Need you.
And God, he does. I see it burning in his eyes. He needs me. I'm the only one who can give him back to himself.
I'm yours,
I tell him, reaching up to touch his cheek.
You can have me, Alpha.
Cassian snaps me into his chest, locking his arms around me and lowering us to the mattress. It would possibly pass for a hug if I didn't feel like a kitten being strangled by a gorilla.
Gently,
Smith orders again. He moves with caution, kneeling slowly at the nest's edge, but even that is enough to trigger a vicious snarl from Cassian. It reverberates against my ear, sending a skitter of nerves through me. When his alpha senses the shift in my perfume, he makes that growly purring sound again, dropping his forehead to roughly nuzzle at my neck.
Bear.
Even in a rut, he's still grumpy and cuddly. Still the man I know, somewhere in there. I smile into his messy, overly long hair, feeling more at ease. When I relax, he does too. The bruising pressure of his fingertips eases. He inhales at my throat, groaning,
"My Omega."
Yes, yours, I whisper, shivering from the bark. I brush all of his loose hair back and wiggle against him.
I want your knot, Alpha. Can I have it?
Instead of replying, he tips me back until I land on the creamy silk underneath us. His face is fierce as he leverages his body over mine and shoves in deep. The first punch of his cock into my body knocks all the air out of my lungs. There's not a single moment to get it back. Because Cassian starts to rut, his hips snapping like a piston, grinding our pelvises together. I try not to struggle, not wanting to alarm the others or aggravate him, knowing he doesn't even know what he's doing at the moment. When he suddenly rears back and opens his mouth, there's barely time for me to whimper before he strikes. But Smith is there.
No,
he barks, covering my entire neck with his large hand.
You will not bite her.
Cassian grunts his displeasure, but keeps right on pumping, dropping his face to my breasts instead. A wash of relief rushes over me, followed by a swift kick to the gut. Did Smith stop him because he doesn't want me in their pack? If Cassian claimed me, that would be it. Smith would have to commit to letting me stay. He must really not want that if he was willing to interrupt a rutting alpha just to... The fingers at my throat flex subtly. My gaze flies to where Smith crouches just beside my head. His deep eyes trace my face as he adds,
"Not yet."
Chapter 48. Cassian. Remy wakes me up just before dawn. She likes to do that, doesn't she? I can feel how early it is before I even open my eyes. That might have pissed me off 2 months ago, but now I just lower my face into the sweet-scented curls grazing my chin and smile to myself. My girl. I move to hold her more securely, feeling unfamiliar aches in my lower back and abdominals. My half-awake mind stumbles over yesterday's conditioning routine, our practice, our game, Oh, holy fuck. The night comes rushing back to me in a blur. The fight, the fog that came over me like a red mist, the rot. God, no. I rutted her all night, in every position. If I'm sore, how battered is she? My eyes fly open. I jerk upright, almost knocking her flat under her back as I shift to put us chest to chest. She's naked, but covered in a fuzzy blanket I've never seen before. The fact that it's soaked in her scent keeps me somewhat calm while I scan over her body, looking for injuries. There are bruises, around her arms and at her hips mostly, but still they're bruises, and I put them there. A pained sound sticks in my throat while I bend to brush my lips over a patch of marks clustered at the top of her thigh. She shifts, blinking awake. She hums. Fair? She doesn't sound angry. Her voice is sweet and dreamy, full of relief and a little hint of teasing. Or is it still my alpha down there? Her alpha. I guess I really am now. I've rutted her, taken her, and judging by the way she's acting right now, she liked it. My arms constrict, a shaky breath sloughing out of my lungs while I tug her closer. Butterfly. Jesus, I'm so sorry. How long was I gone? Remy hums, stretching lightly within the cage of my biceps. All night, she murmurs, tilting her head back to peer over at the gray light, just barely touching the window strips above us. That's when I realize we aren't in our bed. We're inside her nest, and it's fucking beautiful. Look, she whispers. It's sunrise. Yeah, it is. Outside, and in here too. Because my girl made our nest to resemble the early morning view we've always shared. The domed ceiling is a perfect meld of soft pastels. Blended amber paint creates a smooth effect, blurring the colors from pale pastels to brilliant bright pink, tangerine, and yellow. Her nest cushions match, the colors ranging from the very lightest on one side to the dark, more vibrant hues on the other. Gold accents glint in the weak sunshine coming through the strips of skylight arranged in a sunburst over our heads. Rams, I whisper, looking around. Baby, did you make us a sunrise nest? Her smile is the genuine, guileless one I love so much. She nods, bouncing excitedly, while she sits up. I did the paint, and I picked all these cushions to match. Do you like it? Do I like it? Even after finding Remy and remedying my alpha apathy, I couldn't picture myself getting truly excited about a nest. I'm not a person who gets decor or aesthetics the way Smith and Damon do. I should have known this woman would find a way to make this feel like mine, though. Ours. Butterfly. I husk, rolling on top of her and burrowing my face into her neck. I love it. I love you. She giggles, squirming under my weight. I've never been in here this early, she says. Look, you can see the colors through the skylight. They match the ceiling. But I can't look. I can't see anything but her. It doesn't matter anyway. Nothing could possibly be as beautiful as she looks right now, sleep-mussed and starry-eyed, grinning goofily up at me. And I'm the beast who rutted her all night long. My scent smolders, and she shifts around again. The humor falling off her face. She traces her fingertips over the crease in my brow. Our eyes meet. I fall into butterfly blue, lost in the pretty patterns, and my own chagrin. She blinks, her voice softening.
Bear, I'm okay. Everyone is all right. It wasn't your fault.
God, she's too fucking perfect for any of us. And maybe I ought to feel guilty about that, but I can't. Because really, no one could ever deserve her. But I know I'm damn well going to try. Palming her soft ass in my hand, I bring her flush with my lower half and wrap her thigh over mine. When I drop my forehead to hers, she sees the intent in my eyes and smiles softly, nodding. We make love slowly. She lets me hold her the whole time, keeping our faces together and our eyes locked. I touch every part of her, finding all of the secret spots that make moans fly from her lips to feather over my mouth. Remy lets me make her come twice, before I finally push my cock back into her, sliding down to my knot. She needs her fingers there, every motion soft. After last night, it feels fucking perfect. When the sun finally rises, it's a whole new day. And I'm new, too.
Chapter 49. Remy. Clicking into the calendar app, I eye the date and bite my bottom lip hard enough to sting. I'm having major planner anxiety for two reasons. One is that I don't have the nerve to mark my upcoming heat down in the iCal. It's supposed to hit the first week of the playoffs, which is impossible timing for all of the guys. The chicken part of me wonders if asking them to be there with me during such an inconvenient time will be the deal breaker I've been dreading. Because seriously, how can this really be my life? It can't be. This has to fall apart. And soon. If the timing of the heat doesn't scare them off, my crazy Omega probably will once her haze takes over. All that anxiety is plenty to keep me busy, but there's a second reason for the way my stomach seethes, and it's happening tomorrow. This week has been marked since I created the pack calendar weeks ago. Now the clear blue bar I strenuously avoided thinking about has finally arrived. Timberwolves, away games. There are four in 10 days. For 10 days, the guys will be away from the house, from me, and Smith, who will still be here, with me, alone. As if on cue, Damon swoops into the kitchen. The tight, silky briefs he prefers would honestly look ridiculous on anyone else, but he pulls them off, even when he's frowning in consternation. Sweetness, what's wrong? We spent the better part of last night in my bed, doing everything but nodding. He insists he wants the first time to be extra special, even though by now his alpha must be as desperate for it as my omega is. Cass has been visibly calmer since his rut. When he walks into the kitchen, I note with pride that his posture is loose and his face is calm. Our eyes meet, and his spark. Half heat and half worry.
Butterfly, you're stressed. Is D being annoying?
Damon sputters, before shooting Cassian a middle finger.
Fuck off, I was just checking on our girl.
With a sad half-smile, I point to the line on our calendar. Damon leans over my shoulder, his brow creasing and his lips moving while he stares at the words. I've begun to suspect he has trouble reading. When I first noticed the way he tenses up whenever Cassian and I discuss books, I thought he just really hated them. Then, one afternoon, he showed me his overflowing Audible library and mentioned two audiobooks he burned through during conditioning that week. Now, as he visibly sounds out the three words I've typed in, my heart gives a pang. If he struggles, I wonder why he's never told me. Do the others know? Cassian doesn't seem to notice. He flicks a glance at the screen before scowling and dropping onto the stool next to me, all grumbly.
Stupid fucking away games. Hate this shit.
When he senses Damon and I both smirking at him, he rolls his shoulders back and meets my eyes, muttering,
I don't like leaving you.
I reach over and touch his stubble cheek.
I'll be okay, Bear. Smith will.
Sit at the kitchen table, watching my every move, bring me coffee and pat my head every morning, disappear to a 5 to 8 appointment, mysteriously labeled Smith, meeting, every night, and come back smelling ever so slightly like another Omega. Look after me. Damon and Cassian exchange a look. They've clearly talked about this. Dee opens his mouth, hesitating slightly.
Pretty girl, if you don't want to be home alone with him, we can make another plan.
Cassian nods.
Maybe you could.
He grits his teeth.
Go and stay with Meg.
It means a lot that they're willing to even suggest that. I know the thought of me alone in a house with other alphas, even happily bonded ones, makes them both crazy. They're only offering it as an option to make sure I'm comfortable while they're on the road. Her heat ended 2 days ago, I say, laughing lightly to hide my anxiety at the thought. They're probably all still asleep. Yesterday, she sent me 12 sword cross emojis, followed by the mind-blown one, and 28 water droplets, which I suspect were not meant to indicate actual water. So that will be a fun phone call. I replied with a string of question marks, but they're still unread. I would bet money on her being crashed out for the rest of the weekend. Damon's hot, bare chest slides against my back. He drops his lips to the place beside the strap of my dress, skimming his mouth there with a rumbly growl.
I can't wait for your heat, sweetness. I bet we can go way longer than Meg's alphas. Football players are pussies. They're not even allowed to fight with their fists.
Cassian grunts his agreement, the corner of his mouth flinching up.
Pussies, he agrees. They probably take breaks, too. So many fucking breaks in football.
Oh, Lord. I have a feeling that when the Pearson pack and the Ash pack actually meet, Meg and I might be in for some serious, well, dick measuring. Even so, a pang of longing echoes through me. I would really love for all of us to get together. Normally, in these circumstances, it's up to the leader of the newer, less established pack to reach out to the more established pack's alpha. That means Smith would have to call Ronan. But that's just tradition. I can do it myself, I suppose. No one would really care, aside from me. Cass glances down at the calendar on the iPad in front of me and raises his brow.
Looks like we'll find out next month.
I follow his thick, pointed finger to a Sunday. The event marked there isn't one I added. We all have our own colors, and this block is red, indicating that Smith added it. Dinner with Ashpack. Smith comes strolling into the kitchen, dressed immaculately in a gray suit, with one of my pale pink panty sets neatly folded into his breast pocket. When he notices the way all three of us stare at him, he pauses, lifting his brow at us.
Yes?
Words fall out of me without permission. You called Ronan. His nod is clipped, but his voice oozes self-assurance. It's customary for the alpha of the newer pack to contact the more established pack leader to arrange the first dinner party. It sounds like he's reciting from an etiquette book, the sort of thing I enjoy that no one else seems to care about anymore. When his dark eyes land on mine, I can read them easily. I care too. This has happened more and more recently. I'm not sure how I feel about it, but Smith appears intent on making it clear just how much we have in common. A lot of it is obvious, I suppose. We both like to dress up, keep a nice house, organize our agendas. We're both old-fashioned. Maybe that's why he hasn't even tried to kiss me yet, despite, you know, that whole rutting my throat thing. He can probably sense that I don't know what to make of him. I spent months shaking every time he walked into proper coffee. Rewiring that fear hasn't been easy, but I don't quiver every time he comes into a room anymore. We share space more and more easily, it seems. He's been much better about acknowledging me, pointing out every little change around the house, and thanking me sincerely for every single meal I make. He still doesn't mention the panties, or come home at dinner time, but I suspect that has more to do with whatever meeting he goes to daily than it does avoiding me. As if to prove my point, Smith approaches. The others naturally clear a path for their alpha, allowing him room to stand beside me and drop a gentlemanly kiss to my cheek.
You may want to check Thursday night, he murmurs, stepping back.
I blink down at the calendar, my eyes roaming over the upcoming weeks. Sure enough, there's another line on there that I didn't see before, written in red under the guy's away game schedule. Date night. Remy and Smith.
Chapter 50. Smith. According to Irene,